Hello, it's Misty Unirsky, and I'm going to be doing day number 12 of my MXTXtober prompts, and that prompt is lantern. It's lantern, and obviously, well, not obviously, but lantern made me think of like the blessing lanterns from Heaven Official's Blessing. So I was like, I gotta find a Hualien fic about lanterns, and I have found one. You might notice that I am posting this before day number 11, because day number 11 is I chose a fic that is way too long and it is taking me forever to read. So I thought I would, I'll just delay it a little. Do some shorter fics. Though saying that, this fic is 8,000 words. Anyways, I was like, I need to get something out there. So anyway, so yeah, these are my MXTXtober fics, pod fics. That's when I do a cold read, which is kind of like a more informal pod fic where I won't be doing as much editing and I might be talking in the middle of it. For every day of October for spooky month, and they're kind of spooky-ish, though most of them have nothing to do with Halloween. Anyway, so the fic I have chosen is The Fox Spirit Story by Yi-Chie, I think, Yi-Chie. Please, if you read this, please let me know how to pronounce your name, and I will try my best. But yeah, summary. May all your heart's wishes come true, and may your sails move with the winds. This is Xie Daojiang's first Lunar New Year in the Ghost City, and it's all hands on deck. Author's notes: takes break from writing fic by writing another fic. This is literally me, but with pod fics. Anyway, hello and happy Lunar New Year. Post-canon Hualien, where, as the summary has said, they celebrate the first Lunar New Year together after the events of the novel. That's it. That's the fic. This is told partially from the POV of one of the Ghost City's residents, a fox spirit. Because I think the fawnish, adoring way all the ghosts treat Xielian is absolutely hysterical and endearing. Featured: Ghost City Bitch Ghost City Bitch, Just Ghosts Being Ghosts, Gratuitous Bathhouse Scene, Crude Humour That Fafa Would Disapprove of, Xielian in Red, Fafa in Red But Make It Sexier, Ben Wyatt Fingers, It's About the Devotion. Beef leaf. It's about the devotion. Beef leaf shenanigans. Blackwater sinking boats is just here for the food. And Wang Xian cameo if you put this shit under an electron microscope. Content warning: mild gore, ghosts talking about eating people, ghosts butchering human limbs, extended discussions about death, ghosts discussing their deaths, and making light of the subject. Okay, that was a lovely author's note. January 17. Hulan has been dead for 5 years. This is all good and well. When it comes to competition in the Ghost City, at the end of the night, it's all about how you died and how long you've been dead. And Hulan is relatively a baby. 5 years? In an accident on the streets? Oh, yeah, that's no fun. Did you at least lose any limbs? The Black Dragon Bathhouse, at which she works, hosts patrons that are decades, sometimes centuries old, every evening. They crawl in with bags of creaking bones and frayed skin to bathe their bodies so they'll last a little longer, to scrub new ones of the strange tack right after application. There's a sign on the door that says, anyone who's got rot, scram. They're a top-tier establishment, and anyone with chunks coming off of them will be spat on. The approaching Lunar New Year means business in Black Dragon kicks up to breakneck speed. On top of everyone coming to soak, the bathhouse must be cleaned until it is spick and span. Every soap in its dish, not a bath flake on the floor, nor a hair left in the tubs. Every hardwood surface waxed and gleaming. Some of the bath salts float up in shapes of cackling skulls as their patrons bathe, and ghosts like Hulan will clean until their shoulders ache. The closer it is to Lunar New Year, the deeper the spirits burrow. Just last week, Hulan had opened a fresh bag of soaking salts, and a deluge of miniature frogs had leapt out at her, exploding in a private display of ashen green fireworks when they connected with her face. She'd gone the rest of the evening covered in bruised green dust. Oh, slightly reader's note, I love this opening scene. I love it when we have OCs viewing the relationship, the canon relationship, because it's, you are in effect like the reader, right? You are being us viewing the couple, because I'm gonna go too far on this, but when you have like fan fiction, and it's sometimes it can feel very like intimate, like you are like from the point of view of, you know, sometimes, well, not all of them use I, but you know, it's very like I am in the midst of this, but it's kind of a bit more removed, and I really love that. And also, this bathhouse makes me think of Spirited Away, and I love that film. Anyway, I will continue. Sorry, that was a long tangent. And now, she opens a tin of bath beads to find they'd all morphed into disembodied human eyeballs overnight. All Hulan can do is sigh. This Lunar New Year is worse, because Hua Chongzu will be visiting. Hua Chongzu will be visiting, and for the first time, he will not be alone.
Get moving, get moving. My great-grandmother moves faster than some of you. Heavens bless her soul,
yells the proprietor of the bathhouse, a tiger spirit whom everyone only calls Dagu.
Hey, Hulan, stop sitting there and rubbing your shoulders. You can rest when you're dead.
A jeering cacophony of laughter erupts around her. No rest for the weary, and no rest for the dead. If you want to stay on Earth bundled by hatred even in death, then you're going to have to work for it. Between shouts, there's a measured click of heels, followed by a muted kerfuffle as everyone scrams. The emptiness of a space so suddenly vacated feels lopsided. Dagger clears his throat loudly.
My lord...
Is there something funny?
My lord, we weren't expecting you. It's not quite... Never mind. Everything's fine. No, nothing's funny, actually. Just making sure everyone is doing their work. No funny business at all.
Hulan has never met Hua Chongzu, because walk the city as he might, he never visits the bathhouse. Why would he? They say Paradise Manor has a bath of carved cinnabar and mahogany, rivaling in the lake in its size. There is no need for him to visit a bathhouse. He's a towering man, dressed all in red, with a sweep of hair so long that he could whip Hulan in the face if he turned too quickly. His arms are crossed, silver glints at his wrists. She doesn't look into his face.
Hua Chongzu,
says Hulan. She's still holding the god's damned tin of eyeballs. They stare back at her, unblinking.
What are you looking at? Oh, wait, is that in her voice?
What are you looking at?
At your service. Even when he hums its laughter, not unkind, just hair-raising.
What have you got there?
A tin of bath beads, my lord.
He raises a neat eyebrow. Well, they were bath beads, my lord,
My deepest apologies. We will be replacing them immediately.
Taiza Jansha will be visiting this place soon. This place will be presentable by then, no?
Hua Chengzu's questions are never questions. They are orders.
Yes, yes, of course, my lord,
Dago says.
You will have absolutely no need to worry.
I don't think I will. And then he is gone, fading shadow of blood-red maple. Dago looks like he's a few unnecessary breaths away from fainting. For once, he and Hulan have something in common. He casts her a glance.
Get new bath beads,
he barks, just for something to say. Taiza Jansha will be coming? Asks Hulan. Sweat pearls at her hairline. She hasn't sweated in 5 years. Why?
Don't ask why. It's Hua Chengzi. They say he's lived and died and lived again for Taiza Jansha.
Jansha.
So you best not mess this up for us.
January 18. They say a lot of things about Hua Chengzi and Taiza Jansha, who asks to be called Xie Daozhang instead. They say Hua Chengzi found him an ox cart after 800 years of waiting. 800? I don't even think I could wait 8. Not with the late... Oh.
Okay, this might be a man, but she's a woman.
Not with the ladies here in Ghost City.
You're wrong. They say Hua Chengzi found him on a mountain dressed in a wedding dress.
A wedding dress? No clearer could a sign from heaven be than that.
Pah, a sign from heaven? What heaven? What sign? The heaven that kicked Xie Daozhang out is no heaven to me.
They say Hua Chengzi was in love for 800 years. 800 years is a long time. A long time to be alive, an even longer time to be in love. They say that Xie Daozhang saved Hua Chengzi's life once.
They say Hua Chengzi saved his.
Xie Daozhang is what most people would call an uncommonly kind man. A little unsettling, even. His presence just the slightest too bright to belong in Ghost City. A flame lit too abruptly and stinging the eyes. A slice of sun. There are stories, because there are always stories. Hulan has spent the last 5 years of her residence here trying to piece it together. A fragment of glass here, a scrap of embroidered robe fabric there. She's heard plenty since she arrived, each story more fantastic and unbelievable than the next, but has never quite heard as much as she does this Lunar New Year, as the Ghost City scrambles to clean every nook and cranny there is. In a land full of demons and spirits, there is more nook and cranny than there is space, so it is quite the hoopla. Hoopla? Hoopla. Hoopla. It's quite the hoopla, I think. Tonight, she trots through the main square to gather the ingredients for fresh bath beads. Proper ones, of course, for Xie Daozhang, which usually means trading at the illicit black market booths for ingredients smuggled in from the heavenly world. Fresh produce brings out the aroma of human thighs better when it's cooked, and has thus become a hot commodity since that convenient discovery. Fresh blood cup soup... what? Fresh blood cube soup, stewed every evening. Hey, want some? Just $1 for a bowl. You won't get it this fresh again. We're only cooking so hard because Xie Daozhang will be coming. Keep your blood cube soup, says Hulan. A farther down the street, a hulking, scaly fish spirit is huddled over a cutting board, violently eviscerating a limbless human torso. Is it still twitching? They look up and fix a cloudy eye on Hulan as she trots by.
Hua Chengzi sent you out here?
His words are warbled. How do I... Hua Changzu sent you out here?
His words are warbled, like his tongue is too big and slimy for his mouth. The spirit has catfish whiskers that drooped to the dirt.
Kind of. How do you think Xie Daojiang feels about liver?
I don't know if he eats. And he certainly wouldn't eat anything you serve.
Fish spirit frowns. His whiskers drag in the dirt as if he's picked up on her distaste.
Hua Chengzu said Grand Xie Daojiang deserved to eat only good food.
So maybe not human liver, says Hulan.
What is good food?
Says the fish spirit, alarmed, lumbering across his stall.
Hulan backs away. He gets slime on the counter, and big salty ears tears start pooling in his eyes. His fingers are webbed and covered in gore. Is that a whole spleen?
The tears drip onto the table, and then a pair of tiny sardine spirits appear to collect it into jars. One of the labels on them says vinegar. Hulan gags.
What will I do? What will I do? Whatever shall I do?
Hulan skitters away before he can cry on her and turn her into dinner too. And then, finally, she gets to the farthest end of the market, just in this alley, and finds what she's looking for. The fringes of smuggle trading.
Slight reader's note, I'm really sorry if all of these vendors sound exactly the same. I'm trying to differentiate, but it might not be too successful. Anyway,
ground sandalwood. 2 gold pieces per kilogram.
Real clementines, not just bewitched imitations. Real clementines, taken from 100th day celebrations for babies.
Dried chili. Authentic dried chili harvested from the entrances of the martial god of the northwest himself. 5 gold pieces for the whole jar.
The goods are divided in an organized mess of things. Most of the vendors arrange their pillage and plunder on rugs spread over the ground, with some of them propping up wooden displays for their best goods. The empty carrying canteen rattles hungrily from where it's strapped to Hulan's back.
Reader's note, this is a lizard. How does a lizard speak? Okay, I'm going to go for extra slimy.
Hey, fox spirit.
The ghost who owns the biggest trading booth is a particularly unctuous lizard, with a forked tongue and slitted golden eyes. When he sees Hulan approach, he leers over his display as she picks through his products.
What do you want? Lavender? Myrrh? All freshly smuggled.
I'm looking for frankincense. Peppermint, if you have it. Fresh ginger, too.
Aye, fox spirit. Who do you think I am? If you want to go grocery shopping, then just go to human markets. Don't kid me with that stuff.
Ginger? No one serves ginger for a god.
Ginger for a god? Doesn't sound so bad.
Oh, wait, no. I thought that was Hulan. It's not.
Ginger for a god doesn't sound so bad. The lizard smuggler looks up, a sneer settling over his leathery mouth. Hulan does too. Beside her, a man robed in immaculate white. A cultivator, perhaps? His essence is too untainted to belong to a ghost. He'd slid into the stall noiselessly, as if he'd simply materialized beside them, and neither had noticed until he'd announced his own presence.
What do you want? We don't have ginger here.
The white cultivator glances down at Hulan, who looks back at the display hurriedly.
She picks up a string of dried chili, some of the skin and seeds flaking onto her damp, stained apron and clinging to the fabric. They're flecks of blood over the faded dragon embroidery. Give me 10 parcels of the frankincense and 5 of the peppermint. I also want all the ginger you have.
Hey, Dao Jiang, are you deaf or just stupid? I just said we don't have any ginger here, says the lizard spirit.
You smell of it.
Who even are you? Do you think you're...
Hulan is about to book it out of the booth when a searing burn of spiritual power rends the air. Only for a second, but it's enough that she has to check if her eyebrows have been singed off her face. She ducks, but it passes like a thunderclap, gone by the time she moves to crouch. The lizard spirit is shoveling parcels of frankincense and peppermint into the cultivator's arms, shaking and pale. His clawed hands tremble so hard that he drops half of them.
There, take your parcels. That's all. That's everything.
Thank you, says the cultivator. Hulan senses him turn to her, and she chances another glance at his face. He is handsome and unfamiliar, with a serene, dignified expression that lends him the air of a martial god. There isn't a weapon on his person. Without further explanation, he leans down, tips until the parcels topple from his grip, and empties his armful of raw ingredients into the carrying bucket on Hulan's back. Then he's gone in a billow of white without another look back.
Wait, Dao Jiang!
Hulan's senses return to her body belatedly. Dao Jiang, what's the meaning of this? Dao Jiang, wait for me. His strides are far too long for her to keep up with, so it's a sprint and a jog to keep up with him. Hulan snatches one of the parcels of frankincense out of her canteen.
Dao Jiang, you bought these with your money. What are you doing, giving them to me?
Don't you need them?
Yes, I do, but...
You work at the Black Dragon bathhouse. They're for Taizi Jianxia. Dianxia, aren't they?
Right, I do, but...
Wait, how do you know?
Keep it.
But, Dao Jiang...
If it's for Taizi Jianxia, then you'll do well to take these ingredients, or Hua Chengzi might get angry. You know how he is. I hear he has a temper. Best not to mess with it, no?
Of course, but...
I should hope I don't have to tell you twice.
He steps in front of her, blocking Hulan's path on the main street. Not a question, but an order. They've drawn stares and heated whispers around them, and Hulan feels her fox and her human ears grow hot and embarrassed. Just who does this guy think he is? What's his deal? What kind of cultivator even comes to Ghost City, does such odd things, and then humiliates a lowly ghost in the middle of the street? Maybe this really is a martial god. Only they'd get such sick pleasure out of something so stupid.
I understand, she mutters.
Snickers float out of a tent full of tittering squirrel spirits. Good. He pulls the package she's wrinkled in her clammy fingers and deposits it with a merry crackle of paper back into the pile in her carrying bucket. Then, without further ado, he turns to go.
Wait!
He does.
Are you Xie Dao Jiang himself, by any chance?
The cultivator laughs.
Me? Whatever gives you that idea?
You seem to know Hua Changzu well. You even look quite like Xie Dao Jiang. I've only met him once, but... The sounds of the city market fill the tense silence that stretches between them. Then he says with a strange muteness to his voice, Taizi Jianxia is much more beautiful than I am. Daojiang, you're not so bad yourself. I'm sure plenty of ladies like you.
I'm going to make a slight change. But you didn't hear this from me.
His answering laugh holds no warmth. I cannot be Xie Daojiang, because he is a more beautiful person than I am. A kinder person than I am. A stronger person than I am. A person with a heart. There is no one quite like him anywhere in the three realms. There really is not. Hulan agrees. Another odd confessional. This cultivator truly is strange. He eyes her, a thoughtful glint in his eye, as if he's curious for an explanation for her conviction, but won't stoop low enough to ask a lowly newborn fox spirit. So, Hulan shrugs, the rusted iron of her pail screeching when it goes up and down with her shoulders. Like I said, I met him once.
Oh?
Yeah. She starts walking again, and strange cultivator lets her go and falls into a step that matches her gait. How generous of him. He must have been ill at the time. He seemed very confused. He kept asking about Xianle Kingdom, which had fallen eight centuries ago. But he defended me against a mob of men who were trying to touch me because I sang a risque song in the village square for money. We all did things as we must to survive.
We do.
He was ill, and he had no reason to help me, but he ran to my defense and didn't leave until I did. Then Hua Chongzi arrived. I didn't know it was him at the time. Foolish of me. He seemed to be very worried when Xie Daojiang wasn't looking, and I only noticed him because, well, who dresses in that much red?
Lurid, really.
If it's anyone who can make red look good, it's our Hua Chongzi. Hulan says, sniffing. But only after I left did I realize that it had been Xie Daojiang, Taizi Jianxia, and Hua Chongzi Crimson Rain Sword Flower. I knew I had gotten away lucky and protected because of their presence. Who knows what would have happened to me otherwise? Well, she would end up being killed in a collision. But that's besides the point. Hulan shudders.
Was he very worried?
Asks strange cultivator. Which is a stupid question. Xie Lian could get an eyelash in his eye, and Hua Chongzi would yank out his other eye and give it to him. Hua Chongzi? Of course, Xie Daojiang is his most beloved, the person who he has given his heart and soul and life to. Of course he would worry. He just doesn't show it in front of Xie Daojiang. He doesn't like to make him worry, I think. Hulan hitches her bucket up to her shoulders more securely, the frankincense and ginger tumbling over each other in the jostle. A strange cultivator walks beside her in a pensive silence for a while. Hulan thinks of how silly they must look. A diminutive fox spirit and a well-to-do white-robed cultivator traipsing through the frenetic chaos of Ghost City, having a conversation about their lord. Abruptly, she worries if she'd said too much, if this man is suspicious, if she'd given away any secrets. But it's no secret how much Hua Chongzi adores Xie Daojiang. Everyone in all three realms is quite aware. Aggressively, unwillingly aware, Hua Chongzi makes sure of it. He does not skimp on the details. It should not be a problem. Anyway, says Hulan, I need to get back to work. Thank you again, Daojiang, for buying the ingredients for me. Do you come by here often? I'll find a way to repay you somehow, though I'm not sure what a ghost could have that you couldn't get yourself. She folds her hands together and bows, a foreign feeling after so long. There is no need for such pointless courtesies in Ghost City.
It is almost the new year. You'll invite bad fortune if you keep working so hard.
I am used to it, Dao Jiang. Being home for the new year, I was never married, so my family would always mock me for being a leftover woman. I was still young, but they were relentless, so even in death I prefer to work. The bathhouse is rowdy, but it is a strange sort of happiness.
How very strange, he agrees. Then he waves, and Hulan might just be imagining it, but wind seems to gust from the billow of his wide sleeves with the careless sweep of his hand.
Off you go, then. And don't look back.
Huh?
But he has turned on his heel, going back the way they came. Hulan nearly does look back, then remembers and faces forward. She doesn't have a reason to go along with the directions of a strange cultivator, but something in his voice tells her to keep her eyes ahead. Then, from behind, a metallic crash and commotion.
Hua Changzi!
Where? The cacophony of voices overlap in the din of the market.
I don't see him.
Why are you panicking? It's just our lord.
Where did you see him?
A cheeky, winking glimmer flits over Hulan's head.
The butterfly!
January 19. The days afterward, Hulan does not have a chance to leave the bathhouse at all, save to run outside and dump some scented oils that have curdled and turned into murky, shapeless tadpoles in their tins. When she is out by the back of the bathhouse, she catches a white figure by the banks of the Ghost City lake. Xie Dao Jiang is bent over the fringes of the lake with a bucket like hers, hands slick with the shine of oil, feeding chunks of quivering raw meat into a disembodied mouth in the water. He's talking to that something in the water, something that probably doesn't understand, but the cheerful burble says it's at least talking back.
What's he doing? Asks Lu Li, peering owlishly at Xie Lian from the top of the hill.
She always has trouble focusing on account of the fact that being a dragonfly spirit means her eyes are set wide in her face. A slow, extended minute goes by as she blinks at him.
Is he feeding the Xiang Lu again?
The what? Asks Hulan. There's a nine-headed serpent monster in the lake. The surface has always been flat, obsidian glass, and she figured that nothing lived in the lake. Oh, how many times she's come to dangle her sure feet in the black water, and to think that they might have ended up being an afternoon snack.
Yeah, the Xiang Lu. I've never seen it before, but they say its true form has the body of a serpent with nine heads of the gods he wiped out of heaven 800 years ago.
Lu Li lifts a towel soaked in blood out of the tub and wrings it dry, the bathwater gory as pomegranates.
Either way, Hua Chengzu raises it for fun. Once Xie Dao Jiang fell into that lake, and Hua Chengzu threw himself in after him because he was worried his pet ate his husband. Crazy, right?
What? Why are you making that face? It's hardly news that they're the strangest married couple in all three realms. Reader's note, this is so cute, but I feel like it's all reminiscent of Xie Lian meeting Erming, where it's just everything that Hua Cheng owns / is affiliated, has anything to do with him, kind of instantly falls in love with Xie Lian too. It's just a given, okay?
January 20.
Gugu, come to bed.
In a moment, Sanlang.
Is it because someone criticized my calligraphy on the spring couplets outside the gambling hall? I thought the style of wild, impassioned writing to be quite fitting for such an establishment. No?
Xielian gracefully elects not to confess that he has an inexplicable soft spot for the gambling hall, because it was the place in which he had first met Hua Cheng in his true form, and instead says, "Your handwriting was so bad someone mistook the characters to say that you were inviting bankruptcy rather than riches."
"Ugh, of course, of course," says Hua Cheng. "You're always looking out for me, Gogo. If I fell from the rooftops again, would you still be there to catch me now?"
Xielian chuckles. "I know what you are doing, Sanlang."
"And what's that?"
"A ghost king would never fall in the first place."
"But you would, wouldn't you?"
"Of course. I will always catch you. Though I know you are doing it on purpose. It would be a great show for all of your Ghost City residents."
"Yes, it would be on purpose. I also would not fall for fear of hurting you if you were to catch me."
"I don't think ghosts are that heavy, Sanlang." The laugh that Hua Cheng gives him is deep and thrumming, a soft knell. Hua Cheng is spider lilies and smoke in the evenings, red, dark, warm. He's spread out over the divan, pleased as a cat waking up in a wet patch of amber sun, watching as Xielian writes his poetry practice for the evening, as inattentive to the writing as he is besotted with his husband.
"Gugu, do you remember the time you forgot everything?"
This is an unexpected question. Xielian takes his time to reply, dipping his brush in the inkpot again. "I do." A thin rivulet of excess ink races back into the pot when he presses the bristles against the beveled pewter edge. "Though it was somewhat of a humiliating experience, so I try not to."
"Does Gugu remember, then, that young woman outside the restaurant where I came to find you? The one who sang songs for money?"
"Of course Xielian does. He remembers with unshakable detail every person he sees busking on the streets now. His brain grabs them and commits them to the lines and pages and dusty tomes of his memories. It says, 'Help them as you could not beg to be helped then.' Even if it had been as simple as sitting with a wretched girl with a peeper, singing songs about love she didn't understand."
"Yes," says Xielian. "She lives in Ghost City now."
Hua Cheng says this all while twirling his hairbead in his fingers, lackadaisical, almost bored, like he's discussing the weather or which god to antagonize next. There's a deep grain to his voice that says he knows Xielian would care. And Xielian does. He never got her name, and can't even recall the picture of her face anymore. The realms would call it silly to care for someone so inconsequential to stand out in the cruel, unrelenting stream of time. And yet, he does. Foolishly so, perhaps. But Hua Cheng would say,
"Gugu, this is what makes you a god."
The brush hovers over his paper for so long that a drop of ink lands on the scroll. A miniature abyssal moon. "She died?"
"It would appear so."
"How do you know?"
"I met her in the marketplace. She was buying ingredients for your bath. Naturally, I bought them for her. I hope Gugu doesn't mind that I borrowed your face for my disguise."
Xielian laughs gently. "Why did you help her?" Hua Cheng hums tunelessly. Then he's silent for a long stretch, so Xielian finally turns around with the question on his face. Hua Cheng has taken his eye patch off, though a thick curtain of his hair still rests over where it would have been. They've been working on this, Hua Cheng removing his eye patch earlier and earlier in the evening.
"Gugu expressed a melancholy
that there are no little ones upon which to gift red envelopes in the Ghost City. Xielian raises an eyebrow. He can feel himself picking up this habit from Hua Chong. So you picked a ghost at random? Hua Chong chuckles. He says, she was one of your believers.
Oh?
Yes. Not only so, but she passed away trying to erect a shrine to us. Your statue had been strapped to her back in a carrying canteen.
Oh, Xielian says. He curls his fingers around the carved golden armrest of his chair as his heart sinks down into the vicinity of his knees.
Oh, no.
It's not your fault, Gugu. Humans are as humans do.
Xielian places his brush down on its jade rest.
I know, Salon.
But?
But sometimes... Xielian knows his next words will be childish, and that Hua Cheng will hold them like precious stones in his palms anyway.
I wish goodness were real.
Even with the weight of 8 centuries on his shoulders, Xielian still wishes. The dim candlelight throws the angles of Hua Cheng's face into sharp relief, and now he is more smoke than spider lily. He sits up.
Sorry, that's stupid, says Xielian. What good does wishing do for him? His job is to grant them. No one is listening for the tears of a god.
Gugu, it's not stupid. It's not. Nor is it about what's real or not real, right or wrong. None of those things truly exist.
The silk and satin bedsheets rustle as Hua Cheng climbs out of bed and crosses the room to take Xielian's hands into his. He sits on his knees upon the ground before Xielian, as a believer, kneels before their god.
It's about what we believe in. She wanted to believe in us. That's what counts, he says. In life and in death, we choose the graves in which to bury our hearts. Your heart belongs to goodness. It has grown into the roots of goodness. It always has.
So long. Hua Cheng holds one of Xielian's hands in the cradle of both of his own, an oyster protecting its pearl. Then he says very quietly,
and my heart has always belonged to you.
Xielian chews on the inside of his mouth.
Okay, he whispers, still trying to learn how to hold the words that Hua Cheng chooses for him. Every syllable is placed with the care of building a castle of gold foil.
I will keep it safe. He leans forward, cradling the back of Hua Cheng's head in his palm, and brings his lips to the hair that hangs over Hua Cheng's missing eye. He's frosty to the touch.
Salon, are you cold?
The flash of mischief across Hua Cheng's face is silver and ephemeral.
Oh, always. I'm freezing, Gugu. The cold is simply cutting me to my ashen bones, Hua Cheng drawls. Come warm this frigid dead body, won't you?
So Xielian does, in the cocoon of their bed. January 21. Black Dragon essentially evacuates the premises for Hua Chengzu and Xie Daozhang. It is so quiet in the bathhouse that Hulan feels like she's being watched. After half a week of scrubbing, buying new bath salts and oils, making new bath beads, more scrubbing, and one demolished, on accident apparently, bathtub later, they are at last ready to receive their most distinguished guests.
It's too quiet, Luli says, shivering, rubbing her arms.
The friction of her palms against the iridescent scales of her forearms squeaks in the silence. Usually, Hulan would just shrug. Luli has a tendency for neuroticism, but for once, Hulan understands. Every surface is too clean. Every dark corner is a pair of disembodied eyes.
"He's coming,"
shouts Dagu, wearing an unstained apron today.
"Everyone, look alive."
Hulan rushes to fall into line in the corridor leading into the Black Dragon with the rest of the bathhouse attendants, folding her hands together and bowing just low enough to bare the back of her neck. They hear Hua Chongzu before they see him. The lazy click of shoes on waxed floors. "Hua Chongzu," the attendants chorus in unison, and Hulan scutters along with them, a beat too slow. "Xie Dao Jiang." This is Xie Lin. "Good evening. Good evening. Wow, it's really gleaming in here. Did you guys go to the trouble of cleaning just for us?" Xie Dao Jiang is wrapped in white, as he always is, though he's forgone the hat. Recently, he's taken to wearing a single coral pearl earring, one that matches the bead in Hua Chongzu's braid. A thin lock of his hair is caught between the pearl and his earlobe, and Hua Chongzu reaches out to push it away. The touch is so intimate that Hulan feels the need to avert her eyes. This isn't something she should see, though Xie Dao Jiang doesn't even flinch. "You really didn't have to."
"Xie Dao Jiang, we wouldn't have you walking on floors that weren't clean enough to eat off," Dago says. "Look, see, you can see a reflection in them, can't you?"
Thank you, but you didn't all need to..."
"Oh, but we did. Nothing but the best for you, Xie Dao Jiang. You are Hua Chengzu's most beloved, so you are our family too." "Go now,"
Hua Chengzu says, sweeping his hand at them.
"Is the top floor ready?"
"Of course, Hua Chengzu."
Then, he holds his hand out until Xie Dao Jiang places his into it.
"Shall we?"
They hold their tongues until they've gone, and Luli lets out a monumental exhale.
"Oh, be damned. I was worried he would ask for attendance again."
"What's wrong with our lord asking for attendance?"
Daga snorts when he overhears this question.
This is Hulan.
"What's wrong with our lord asking for attendance?"
Daga snorts when he overhears this question, and Hulan suddenly feels her tiny age again. Luli fixes her with a look that says, "You really don't know shit, huh?"
"Tell her what he did to Xie Dao Jiang in Mu Qing's temple,"
Daga says.
"You tell her yourself," Luli snaps. "Ayah, Mimi. What do you honestly think he does with Xie Dao Jiang in the sweet bath? Play mahjong? Or mahjong?
Wait, let me look this up. Okay, it's mahjong, I think. Where was I?
"Discuss heavenly politics over a cup of tea? You thought the guests that broke the tub this week were the only ones to do such sordid things in our baths?"
Some of the otter spirits giggle around them as they dash about to retrieve and fold the towels into animal shapes. Hulan's ears, all four of them, burn again.
"I used to serve in Paradise Manor, in the lap of luxury, yet here I am. Did you ever wonder why I decided to come work in the bathhouse instead?"
Over Luli's shoulder, one of the goose spirits that works the laundry room makes a gesture with his alarmingly long tongue and fist, one so obscene that Hulan squeaks in mortification. Luli looks back, howls with laughter, and drifts away, no doubt to go antagonize the laundry staff about not getting stains out of their best towels.
"What are you standing there dilly-dallying for?"
Dago barks at her.
"Get back to work."
Reader's note, I love that everyone knows about Hualien and poor Luli for trying to escape it, and yet it all comes back to bite you. Ugh.
January 22. Also, I've realized I've been saying January 22, but I guess it's the 22nd of January. Maybe I'll switch. The 22nd of January. They spend the entire next evening cleaning the suite bath on the top floor. Hulan learns a lot about bedding a ghost over laundry. She will never be able to look either Hua Chengzu or Xie Daozheng in the face again. Readers note, I want to know, what did they do? I mean, you kind of get from canon the kind of stuff they're into, but I want to know. Anyway.
23rd of January, Little New Year's Eve. Hulan is coming back from the distant village when she meets Tai Zijianxia, Xie Daozhang, on the outskirts of Ghost City. It had been a heavy evening. She makes a point of visiting her family before Little New Year's Eve every year, even if they can't see her, even if they don't care to remember her. Even in death, she can't shake the filial need to know that she did her part. They may not remember or care for her anymore, but Hulan still remembers them, will always remember them.
Hulan? She looks up. Xie Daozhang wears a small, knowing smile on his face, as if he'd been waiting for her. The red lights of Ghost City light him soft and golden. The breeze plucks at his hair. Xie Daozhang, is it you this time?
So I see you've met Sanlang's skin of me, is what he says. Yes, it's me this time.
Hulan clears her throat unnecessarily, focusing on a spot on his shoulder so she doesn't have to look him in the face. She's still... traumatized is not the word, but it's the closest one she has.
Xie Daozhang, is there something this ghost can help you with? You are very far from Paradise Manor.
I wanted to give you this. Xie Daozhang reaches into the fold of his robes and draws a red envelope from his lapels. He looks upon the red foil, a glittering scarlet goldfish in his fingers, then holds it out to her. It's a bit early, but it's for you.
What? Xie Daozhang, please... don't be like this. I am but a lowly ghost, and you are the flower-crowned martial god of heaven. There is no need for you to do this.
I understand that you died on the way to erect a shrine for me and Sunlong. Hulan pauses mid-bow, staring down at the tips of Xie Daozhang's shoes.
How does Daozhang know?
I am, as you said, the flower-crowned martial god of heaven, he says. His voice is a playful waterfall tilt, a bit like Hua Chengzu, without the fearsomeness. I am also the scrap immortal. I see the machinations of the common people quite well.
This ghost implores Xie Daozhang to gift his money to a more worthy recipient, says Hulan. I was not the first to die in your name, and I certainly will not be the last.
You were my believer. That makes you more than worthy. When Xie Daozhang kneels to see her face, Hulan panics, tugging at his elbows for him to stand up. What is he doing? Why is he like this?
Xie Daozhang, you mustn't kneel, she shouts. Thank the Lord they're outside of the bustling area of the city.
What would the other ghosts say if they saw this? They would never let her hear the end of it.
Xie Daojiang, Tai Zijianxia, please get up. This is unbecoming of you.
Still, unruffled as ever, he holds out the red envelope. Take it, he says, taking her hand, roughened by soap and water, and pressing it into her hand. It isn't much, just something for the new year.
But why, Xie Daojiang?
He smiles again, a smile that people use when they don't have an answer. Or, when they do, but aren't sure how to gather the bits and pieces into lint and lint-covered fragments of themselves to create something with meaning. He says, because I choose to believe in those who believe in me. 24th of January, Great New Year's Eve. Tai Zijianxia, Tai Zijianxia. Black suits Xie Qingxuan. For all the time he'd known him, Xie Lian had hardly ever seen the Windmaster outside of his jade and white silks. Not until the day they had built the human array, and he'd been dressed like a ruffian. The milling ghosts in the main street of the city part with confusion for him. In his wake are shouts of,
"Hey, isn't that the Windmaster?"
"Lord Windmaster," and,
"Not anymore. Now they're just a swamp dweller."
"Tai Zijianxia, I barely recognized you. I was looking for white robes. I didn't expect you to be wearing red tonight. But, of course."
"Lord Windmaster," says Xie Lian, "have you come alone?"
"Nah, of course not."
Xie Qingxuan waves his fan airily behind himself, nearly knocking some passerby over with the gusts. His earrings are red, tasseled, swaying back and forth like wind chimes from his earlobes.
"Huxuan is back there, sampling the extended menu. Crimson Rain Sort Flower really did outdid himself this year, even by his own standards. There's a stall serving Bing Tang Hulu."
He offers his own skewer of caramelized hawthorn berries. Xie Lian shakes his head.
"I didn't think you would come," he says as they walk together. Huocheng is never far, eyes flitting back and forth from Xie Lian and the stall he's ducked into. Some of them serve chocolates carved and painted to look like human organs. Some of them serve wine in cups carved from bone.
"You invited us. Of course we'd come,"
Xie Qingxuan says. He licks his sticky fingers.
"We have to show some face for Tai Zijianxia and your Crimson Rain Sort Flower, right?"
"Well, right, right,"
Xie Lian says, trying not to fixate on the possessive. "Your." It's been months, and the reminder still throws him into a tizzy. Behind them, a makeshift bar erupts with uproarious laughter as a familiar chicken spirit does a clucking imitation of someone that sounds suspiciously like Pei Ming. When the patrons catch Xie Lian looking their way, they all leap onto their chairs, shouting,
"Xie Daojiang, Xie Daojiang," with every heavenly blessing.
Xie Lian tamps down the urge to bury his face in his hands. Instead, he laughs, a three-note trill, and waves,
"May no paths be bound.
Body in the abyss, but heart in paradise," they chorus, and then laugh into the night sky, as if winning the highest bet in the gambling hall.
Huocheng falls back into step with him, inclining his head towards Xie Qingxuan, which is the most he'll ever do to acknowledge someone that isn't Xie Lian.
"Thank you for inviting us, Crimson Rain Sort Flower," says Xie Qingxuan, bowing his head lower, a half bow as they walk.
"It was Jianxia's idea," says Huocheng. "You should be thanking him."
Xie Qingxuan beams and says, "But anyway, thank you for hosting us.
You have a lovely... A koi spirit at a stall nearby stumbles away from his table and vomits up a clattering mouthful of gold coins, and a school of tiny krill ghosts shriek and swarm for them. A lovely territory. Hua Cheng snorts.
So long, says Xie Lian. He's exchanged his usual black eye patch for a golden one tonight, embroidered with the pattern of a butterfly. It catches the light when his hair sways with his steps. His gaze softens when he turns to Xie Lian, lantern light bathing his skin burnished auburn.
Guga, what is it?
Isn't it excessive to ask every resident and visitor of Ghost City to greet me?
Is it excessive?
Hua Cheng asks. He looks around them. All the ghosts jump to attention to yell adoringly in Hua Cheng's direction as they pass.
Their mouths are already open. Might as well give them something to say.
Xie Lian can't claim he has a good counter-argument for this.
Oh, there he is! Heshuan!
Shi Qingxuan has paused a few steps behind them, waving his fan and now empty skewer over his head.
Hurry up! Don't wander in Crimson Rain Salt Flowers territory. I don't want to be hauling you back in three pieces by the end of tonight.
Hua Cheng laughs aloud at this. The resonance of it is genuine.
Lord Windmaster, you flatter me, he says.
Ah, Heshuan, how very nice of you to join us.
Heshuan is, as always, robed in black, but he's gone so far as to change out his earrings for red tassels. He and Shi Qingxuan match, Xie Lian notes, and mentally tucks this thought away. Blackwater Sinking Boats has an omnipresent grey, algal tinge to his skin, though under the glowing light of the marketplace, he almost looks like a passable human. There isn't any colour to his lips, save for the scarlet stain from the meat bun he's munching on. A wild guess says it's almost definitely not pork.
Greet our hosts, Shi Qingxuan prompts.
Crimson Rain. Taizi Jianxia,
says Heshuan, only somewhat stiffly.
With every heavenly blessing.
May no paths be bound, Xie Lian says. Ghost City has its own New Year's greeting this year, and anyone greeting the Lord's husband is expected to recite their lines. Not that Heshuan cares for rules, what calamity does, but he likes, well, having continued access to subsidized loans. Xie Lian smiles. It's heartwarming to see Heshuan stiffen even further, like he's not sure what to do with a smile.
Body in abyss, but heart in paradise.
Heshuan finishes, mumbling most of it outside, around his mouthful of meat bun.
More like body in food and heart also in food,
Xie Lian does not say. If Xie Lian closes his eyes, he can almost imagine the days when this journey first began, with Hua Cheng beside him, dressed down in his cheeky teenage skin, and the Lord Windmaster and Ming Yi, a Ming Yi who does not exist anymore, or rather, a Ming Yi that never truly existed at all. Looking back, sharing a run-down shack with your friends, telling stories by candlelight, and washing dishes had been such simple, quiet joys.
Guga? Are you hungry?
Xie Lian hums. Yes, a bit. He thinks about where they could get something he can eat, then remembers how hard Ghost City worked to import foods that he'd want to eat at every stall, and his heart is a warm, flickering lantern in his chest. Beside him, Shi Qingxuan points distantly to a stall manned by more chicken spirits, an excited question on his tongue. And then they look up and catch sight of him, too. One of them raises a massive, feathery hand and waves hard enough to flap the sign hanging over their bar. Chicken soup. Organically sourced and flavoured, 100% real chicken. No added human. Then Xielian sees a girl with fox ears and a tail at a dessert stall serving gluttonous rice balls filled with sesame paste, or so he hopes, a single silver dollar clutched in her hands as she tries to read the menu behind the counter. He smiles to himself. "Yes," says Xielian, quite hungry.
"What does Gugu want to eat?"
"Chicken soup doesn't sound so bad." 25th of January, New Year's Day. "You know what I don't miss about being alive?" Hulan has a bowl of tangyuan balanced on her thighs. They float, pearly and full-mooned, in the cloudy rice wine. Beside her, Luli has drawn her knees up to her chest, eating her meat bun bite by minuscule bite. It must be cold by now, the wind coming chilly off the face of the water. "What?" Tonight, the air is scented with the deep, curling scent of firecracker smoke. So will tomorrow. Gunpowder litters the streets. The tattered remains of those red-gold cylinders are strewn against the feet of every stall and booth, paper carnage waiting to be swept. There will be so much sweeping to do. "Caring." The spoon clinks a high porcelain note against the bowl when Hulan rests it in her soup. "And why's that?" "Or having to care." Luli picks out a coarse horsehair as long as her arm from her bun and flicks it aside. "Oh, Mimi, when you're alive, you care so, so much about things you don't really want to care about. Marriage, family, money. And then you die. And then you can care about whatever you want, be it about nothing or about everything." Hulan looks back out over the water. Qiandeng Temple is on the other side of the waterfront, bustling, the beating heart of Ghost City. "We can believe in whatever we want, too," Hulan says. "Ay-ya, what good does believing in things do to ghosts like us?" asks Luli. She stuffs the rest of her bun in her mouth, wiping her claw-like fingers on her thighs, and stands up. "Want me to get you more of that?" She points to Hulan's tangyuan, and Hulan shakes her head. "I gotta go hang the lanterns soon. "Ah, you're right. Hua Chongzu really cares this year, huh?" They both gaze out over the lake, where no doubt the Xianglu is sleepy from its hearty hand-fed meal from earlier this week. Luli has her arms crossed against the breeze. "Yeah," says Hulan, "for Xie Daojiang." "I've never seen our lord the way he is now." "What was he like?" Hulan asks, catching her bowl before it tips. "Before Xie Daojiang came." "Not all that different. Lost, I guess. He was always wandering, a fire looking for its hearth." "What do you think changed?" "I don't know," Luli shrugs. "It is one thing to believe in your god, but maybe when your god begins to believe in you." Hulan looks up from her seat in the grass. Luli trails off, her dragonfly eyes distant, before she shrugs again. "What am I saying? See you back in the Black Dragon." Qiandeng Temple refracts golden and warm across the water. Every eave and pillar is lined with lanterns, wrapped in red and gold, riddle notes fluttering in the breeze like moths tethered to the flames. A fire dances in the windows of the temple, curving around the looming shadow of Xie Daojiang's statue. Hua Chengzu and
his beloved, had gone in a few hours before, and they haven't come back out. Xie Daojiang is an odd man, a very special kind of man, someone just for Hua Chengzu, or perhaps Hua Chengzu is just for him. The first time he had appeared here, Hulan had heard stories of his unconventional ways, of how he'd say thank you to lowly ghosts like them, of how he showed mercy when he did not need to, of how he ate whatever was put in front of him. Now her story conjoined the rest, of how he once gave a bathhouse ghost a red envelope, so she bought Tang Yuan on Lunar New Year with it, and ate it by a lake with the family she chose. What a funny thought, that fate and luck and goodness live in a place in Ghost City. Or maybe, like Luli said, it has less to do with what's real, and more to do with what you believe in. She hasn't believed in much since she got here. Perhaps it's time she changed that. Because I choose to believe in those who believe in me. Here, in Ghost City, where the world is topsy-turvy, where the miscreants come to play, where everything is dead, there glows a soft flame that will never be put out. Hulan downs her last Tang Yuan, savouring the sticky sweet burn of rice wine, and makes the hilly climb over the damp grass back to the bathhouse. The end. And there's also a wonderful piece of artwork that has been embedded by underscore Keriander, and it is Xielian holding the red envelopes and Huacheng kissing his cheek and like hugging him, and it's really cute. So if you're listening, I would highly recommend going back to the original fic and taking a look.
Author's notes. So here are some lovely definitions for the some of the words in the fic, so I'll read them. Hulan means butterfly orchid, which is the name of our main character. Luli, which was her friend, is leaving Jiu. Dage means big brother / oldest brother. He Long Zhao Tang, I think, is a black dragon bathhouse, and spring couplets are scrolls pasted outside doorways for Lunar New Year. They consist of two lines of poetry on each side of the door, and one line of poetry hung above the door. The poems usually express sentiments for the Lunar New Year and wishes for prosperity, good fortune, and a good life in the coming year. So those are ones that Xielian was joking about, Huacheng's handwriting. Tang Yuan, which translates literally to soup ball, are gluttonous rice balls usually filled with red bean paste, sweet sesame, or fruit fillings. They're served during the Lunar New Year / Lantern Festival because its name sounds similar to the words for reunion, Tang Yuan, and thus symbolizes family togetherness. Yuan Xiao Jie, or Lantern Festival, marks the end of the Lunar New Year celebrations. Traditions include lighting lanterns and answering riddles tied to them, eating gluttonous rice balls, and lion dances. Thank you to @Keriander for the art. Look at they! I hope you enjoyed this silly little fic, and happy Lunar New Year. And reader's notes. That was such a cute, sweet story with Xielian and Huacheng's post-canon life. And I love the cameo from Beef Leaf. And them wearing matching outfits. So cute. I think this was a really lovely discussion and kind of exploration of the ghosts, and also it's nice to see it from the point of view from someone that Xielian, like, interacted with.
and the fact she died making their shrine. I think it's nice to see how, like, impactful Xielian is, because I think a lot of, like, Heaven Official's Blessing is, it's basically people taking for Xielian for granted over and over again, or misunderstanding him, or his efforts kind of going to waste, and people saying, why are you doing this? There's no point. But the author has done a really nice fic to show his impact. And yeah, I'm glad that Hulan has found her new family with her friend. It's just really, really sweet. And I'm really glad I chose this fic. Yeah, so this was for day number 12, I think, for Lantern. And Lantern, I mean, the whole thing was about the Lantern Festival, so that's why I chose it. But then also there were really a couple nice metaphors to do with the lanterns, which was really nice, and really brought it back to the theme. So thank you so much for Yitie, for having blanket permission to podfic their works. And if you enjoyed, please go back to the original fic and give them kudos/comments and tell them how wonderful it is. But yeah, so this was part of my MXTXtober prompts, and I will see you all for the next one tomorrow, which, spoilers, I think it's water, and I might have to go back to Mudao Zusha. But you didn't hear it from me, okay? Anyway, thank you all for listening, and I hope you all have a great rest of your day.